So I'm Congressman Jared Huffman. I represent the North Coast, including Trinity County, in Congress, and I live in San Rafael, California.
Obviously, you're seeking office because you feel the North State is well represented. Can you explain three key policy areas where you think you're more in step with local voters than those running against you?
Well, certainly on the broad issue of holding this president accountable to the rule of law, which I regard as maybe the most important issue facing our country and the world today, I'm very much in step with my district. I'm asking all the hard questions. I'm pressing to protect the Mueller investigation and the independence of the FBI and the Department of Justice. And I am working to hold this president accountable across the range of issues involving his personal, political, and financial ties to Russia, the rampant corruption we're seeing in this administration, and the abuses of power that are so much on people's minds. So that's one issue. Other issues that are affecting people's lives in a big way include health care, where I want to actually improve upon the Affordable Care Act, and I'm fighting against a lot of folks who want to tear it apart and take us back to the days of pre-existing conditions, being unable to get insurance, and the Medicaid being shrunk back to covering a fraction of those covered today, and clinics not having the funding they need to serve rural areas. So that's another vital one. And I'll just list one final category. You asked for three. Net neutrality. I just signed a discharge petition in the House where I am working across party lines to try to protect the free access to the Internet against the threat the Trump administration and its FCC have thrown at us by repealing the net neutrality policy. I know that getting broadband Internet service to Trinity County is vitally important. We're working on that. But when we get there, we also want the Internet to be fully available to people, and we don't want people to be slammed with upcharges and gimmicks, and frankly, that's what the Internet service providers would like to do if we don't protect net neutrality. So there are three issues right there.
Illegal immigration and cannabis seem to have joined abortion and firearms as wedge issues in a supposed culture war across the nation. Where do you stand on each of these issues, and how much latitude should states have to set their own rules?
Well, if you're referring to the culture war, where I stand is I stand with the future. The arc of justice, the arc of the history of this country has always bent toward justice, and I believe that includes human rights and tolerance and civil rights, all of which are being tested by this culture war that Donald Trump and some of the most conservative and largely Southern Republicans are waging right now. So I'm not interested in scapegoating immigrants. I certainly want a sensible immigration system. There are some things we can do to improve border security. There are some things that we need to do to address the full range of immigration challenges that we have, but I'm not interested in scapegoating Mexicans or Muslims or anyone else. That's the darker side of these culture wars, and I stand firmly against it.
The North State differs from the rest of California in many ways. What's the most critical challenge that the North State faces, and how would you help address that challenge?
Well, much of the North State faces the challenge of economic development in rural areas, which is difficult. We are not going to go back to the heyday of timber extraction. I don't think cannabis is the holy grail of economic development. I think legalizing it makes sense. I want to see it carefully controlled and regulated. I want to see the illegal grows on public and private land eliminated. And I think the only way to do that and to bring some sensibility to the way we manage this is through ending prohibition. And so I have always supported the move towards legalization and regulation, but we're still going to be left with a challenge of economic development in rural America and the rural North Coast. I mentioned broadband internet service a minute ago. I think that's one way to really unlock some possibilities for Trinity County and other parts, other rural areas in my district. In the not too distant future, it's going to be absolutely essential. It's going to be the way people are educated, the way healthcare is delivered, the way businesses compete globally. In fact, it already is in many cases. So we've got to get that broadband infrastructure in place. I've got some legislation that has bipartisan support to do that. And it's one of the most important things I think I can do to contribute to the economic development challenge that we have. We've got to also make sure that rural clinics and hospitals are able to attract and hire healthcare providers. That is a tough thing to do with the economics of the North Coast. And so I'm supporting some bills to address that. I just supported a bill on veterans to help the VA be able to do a better job of recruiting and retaining physicians, which is so critical to the clinics that serve our veterans in Trinity County. So those are a couple of areas. I'll just mention one more, and that is the environment. You know, travel and tourism, folks who go into the outdoors for recreation, for fishing, the tribes and commercial and recreational fishermen who depend on healthy rivers and salmon runs, all of this is an important part of the economy of Trinity County and the North Coast as well. And I am continuously fighting to protect these natural resources so that they will produce those benefits for future generations. And I'm also working on a big piece of legislation that will have an awful lot of benefits for Trinity County in this regard. It will provide for some new recreation opportunities and trail improvements, a few new wilderness areas and some wild and scenic river protections, but also hundreds of thousands of acres that will be part of a special restoration area in the South Fork Trinity watershed that will include logging, some selective logging to provide shaded fuel breaks. It will make the area more fire resilient and safer. It'll make the forest healthier, and the revenues from those projects will be retained locally and invested in coho salmon restoration projects. So we think it's a real exciting and novel legislative approach, and I'll be introducing that bill in the days ahead.
Our region is the source of much of the state's water supply. Do you think there's anything wrong with the current system? And what is your stance on current water infrastructure proposals, such as raising the height of Shasta Dam and building Sites Reservoir and the Delta Bypass Tunnels?
Wow, those are big. This is a big subject. There's a lot wrong with the water picture right now. And Trinity County is a good place to look to see what can happen if big projects go forward that don't include adequate safeguards for our North Coast communities. Too much water is diverted out of Trinity County and into the Central Valley Project, in my opinion. And in fact, I'm fighting, it seems, every single year to hold on to enough water and to keep lake levels higher in Trinity Lake so that we can provide cold water for salmon in critical times downstream when it's needed. This is vitally important to communities up and down the Trinity River all the way down to the mouth of the Klamath River. So, whether it's fighting against the constant attempts to take more water into the Central Valley Project or fighting infrastructure projects like some of the ones you just mentioned that will draw even more water out of the system, I want to look out for our interests first, and I want to make sure that we're protecting these salmon runs. So I represent the coastal communities that include tribes and commercial fishermen. Many of those commercial fishermen depend on the Delta salmon fisheries, not just the Klamath and the North Coast rivers. And those fisheries are on a path to extinction if the Delta Tunnels project proceeds as has been currently proposed. I'm fighting that project on all sorts of grounds. I don't think it'll get the environmental permitting that it needs. It's way short of getting the user, the beneficiary financing that the law requires. And so there's lots of reasons why I think that project should not move forward. You also mentioned raising Shasta Dam. That's not a great project, and fundamentally, it's an illegal project under California law because the McLeod River, which would be inundated by a raised Shasta Dam, is protected by the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act in the state of California, and I'm not interested in rolling back those kind of water protections. I have not opposed Sites Reservoir. I could imagine scenarios under which sites could be operated in ways that could be beneficial. I could also imagine it being used in ways that draw a lot more water out of the system and increase pressure for, I think, wrong-headed Delta conveyance. So I think I want to continue to reserve judgment on sites. There's all sorts of other water infrastructure I do support, and so I just want to end my answer to this question by saying these are not the only projects that can solve our water needs in the state of California. There's all kinds of innovative, effective, very cost-effective strategies that we can bring to bear if we decide to stop pushing for the bad projects and work together on the good ones.
Homelessness has become an entrenched problem for most communities, but remedies are elusive. What effective measures might be taken at the federal level to end homelessness?
I think the first thing is to understand that homelessness is a very multifaceted challenge. If you're really going to end homelessness, you've got to tackle it on several fronts and probably simultaneously. Part of it is mental illness and substance abuse addiction. We obviously can do a lot more with our mental health system. We can do a lot more to provide support for treatment and recovery for folks who have substance abuse problems, and that should happen. We're not doing enough on the housing side of things. So when people fall into hard times, miss a rent payment, whatever, they're often just one missed rent payment away from eviction and homelessness, and there's not affordable housing alternatives available for people in these hardship scenarios. So federal housing, both the HUD program and also vouchers we provide for veterans to try to keep them out of homelessness are really important, and we have underfunded those things badly in recent years. So that should be part of the situation as well. Really, I think you have to look at the broader social safety net and the fact that it has not kept up with the rising cost of living in places like California and the need that we face. We're voting on legislation in Washington these days to make it even worse. My Republican colleagues are proposing to slash the SNAP program, which is the food safety net for a lot of struggling families, millions of them around the country. They're proposing to take us the wrong way on health care, back to the time when families started going bankrupt simply because someone got sick. And yeah, that can implicate homelessness in many cases as well. We're going to have fights about Social Security and Medicare. It's inevitable because this Republican tax cut scheme has put tremendous pressure on the federal budget. We're seeing deficits well in excess of $1 trillion. The national debt is skyrocketing, and Republicans are saying the only answer is to do deeper and further cuts to the social safety net. So all of that's going to take us the wrong way on homelessness, and it's important that we keep that in mind. Those are some of the federal considerations that I have on this issue. I do want to just add that this is not only a federal issue. Obviously, the state government, which sets a lot of housing policy, local governments, which do the land use planning and have a lot of authority in this area, and even nonprofits and the faith community and individuals. It's probably going to take the greatest collaboration ever on every one of these levels for us to truly end homelessness.
Congress is entrusted with the power of the purse, budgeting and spending public money. What policy areas and programs do you think deserve more money, and what would be the source of that money?
That's a great question, and you're right. In theory, Congress has all of this budgeting authority and power of the purse that it can use to serve as a check on runaway executive power. You asked for something that could use more money, and I think I just mentioned it in answer to the previous question, housing. The federal government could do a lot more on mental health. The federal government could do a lot more on substance abuse. But maybe the biggest and most transformative one would be health care. If we could provide a basic level of national health insurance to every American, like other modern post-industrial democracies around the world already do, we would do so much to improve the quality of life of the people of this country, but also stimulate the economy. So employers would no longer bear the burden of providing costly health insurance for their employees, and they could go out and compete with companies from Canada and other countries that where health care is provided as a right. It would do an awful lot, I think, to take our country and our economy into the 21st century.
Congressman Jared Huffman, U.S. Representative for California's 2nd Congressional District, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.